That verse we were saying, no? Thani sarvani sanyame yukta ashita masparaha. So, there in the purport Prabhupada he is saying that how Lord Vishnu, being situated in the heart, like fire, he burns. As a blazing fire burns everything within a room, Lord Vishnu, situated in the heart of the yogi, burns up all kinds of impurities. So that verse is from Vishnu Purana. Yathagnir udatashikaha kaksham dahati shalina shanilaha sanilaha swar sanilaha tata chitta stito Vishnu yoginam sarvakil visham. So that is the verse from Vishnu Purana. And I still have to find out the Yoga Sutra. Later I will find it out. So coming back to the point that we were discussing, that how prasade sarva dukkanam hani rashopajate, which one? Raga dvesha vimukteshu vishayan indriyeshan atma vasher vijayatma prasadam adiyate. So I was telling about how Mayavadis, they also know that, oh, we will not attain a perfection without mercy of Lord Krishna or Vishnu. So they will go to the temple of Lord Vishnu. And when the public, what they will say? They will say that Shankara's teachings are universal. Therefore, we worship Shiva also, we worship Lord Vishnu also. We give equal importance to everyone. That is the problem with your philosophy. These Vaishnavas are sectarian, and Shankaracharya was universal. He did not just tell one, you worship one dog god. That is the problem with your philosophy. So how you will answer that, how Krishna consciousness is not sectarian?
So we will give opportunity to everyone to practice Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. So it is Krishna consciousness is there in the heart of every living entity, and Lord Krishna is father of all the living entities. He is not just Hindu God. We are not talking about, when we speak about Krishna and devotional service to Krishna, we are not speaking about some sectarian God, some Hindu God Krishna. We are talking about Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. He is God of even Christians, he is God of even Muslims, he is the God of even Mayavadis. So, in that sense, our process is non-sectarian. And religion is meant for knowing God and loving God. That is the purpose of religion. So, if we don't know God and learn God from by your religious process, then what is the use of that? You come to us, we will teach you how to. You will teach you about God and we will teach you how to love God. So basically Prabhupada gave non-sectarian message of Krishna consciousness. You follow any religious principle, but you attain love of Godhead. If you are not able to love Krishna, love God, then your so-called religious process is useless. What is the use of following that religious process if it is not helping you to know God and helping you to know God and helping you to love God? What is the use of that? So then you come to us, we will teach you. In this way, in Christian world and Muslim, Prabhupada, he preached like this. The non-sectarian message of Krishna. This is non-sectarian. It is completely secular message. You know, ultimate meaning of secularism is that you should encourage people to follow some system of religion. That is the meaning of secularism. Secularism doesn't mean that atheism, no religion. That is not actually secularism. But you should not be like sectarian. That is secularism. Okay, so coming back to the point. So, this is a verse which we were discussing. Mayavadis say because we are universal, so therefore we worship God. That is your problem, right? You don't know who is God. You don't know about God, therefore you concoct something and tell that well, we are universal. So, I am refuting here Chandra Shekhar Indra Saraswati. I was reading some book about it. So, text 265. Prasade sarva dukkhanam
hani rasya upajayate prasanna chetaso yasho buddhi paryavatishtate.
For one who thus satisfied in Krishna concept the threefold miseries of material existence, material existence exists no longer, in such a satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So, Prabhupada, he has not given proper talk. So, we will just read up. There is a quote from lectures. The yogis and others are trying to control the senses by force. I shall go to the Himalayas. I shall not see beautiful women. I shall close my eyes. You cannot control your senses. You don't need to go to Himalayas. Remain in Los Angeles and use your eyes to see Krishna. You are better than a person who goes to the Himalayas. Like Srila Prabhupada, there is a, you know this Yamuna Devi Dasi Prabhupada, disciple, female disciple. I think before her initiation looks like that. And you are just coming new. She was one of the beginning disciples, right? So, early disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to sit in his that rocking chair, you know, which he had. So, and she used to come and sit in front of him. Just come and sit in front of him. Then Prabhupada said, so what is your plan? He said, like we have to ask, no, Brahmachari, what is your plan? You want to stay or you want to go back? Sometime we have to ask Brahmachari, right or not? What is your plan? You want to stay as a Brahmachari or you want to go back to Rastashram like that? So, Prabhupada used to ask those early disciples whether they want to stay as Krishna consciousness or go on to go away somewhere. She said, I am thinking to go to Tibet. I like high places, high mountains, you know, I want to go high like that. So then Prabhupada said, I can take you even higher than that, he says, just stay here. So like that, Prabhupada is telling, don't go, no need to go to Himalayas. You can be here in Los Angeles and become Krishna conscious. Engage your eyes in seeing Krishna, seeing the beauty of the deity, Krishna. Engage your tongue in tasting Krishna prasadam. Engage your legs coming to the temple. Engage your hands working for Krishna. Engage your nose in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna. Then your senses will be controlled and perfection is achieved. You don't have to control your senses possibly, but you have to change the engagement, the status. That will be very helpful. Lecture BG 62-72, Los Angeles 68. You see how Prabhupada's preaching was just focused on Krishna consciousness. He was just focused on Bhagavad Gita philosophy. It is not that when he went to West, he made some alternative method of preaching. Just telling. No need to do all these things which you are all doing, going here and there. Just be Krishna conscious. That is his message. If you hear lectures, he doesn't have any alternative preaching method or something like that. To America. He just presented Krishna consciousness systematically. So text 68. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shanti rashandasya rudasukam. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So nasti buddhi rayuktasya rayuktasya bhavana. So 64th verse, who can attain the mercy of Krishna, or one who has attained the mercy of Krishna, what are his symptoms? And such mercy, who attains such mercy, What happens to him in 65th verse? He says, Sarva dukkha anam hani rashopajayate. So no more material. Prasanna chetaso yasho buddhi paryavatishtate. And he is completely, his consciousness is prasanna cheta. Prasanna cheta. You understand this word? Prasanna cheta? He is not depressed, morose. He is very always in different level, you know, of consciousness. Prasanna cheta. So, not always lamenting, grumbling, crying, like that. Prasanna cheta, so that is. So now, the someone who is not attained the mercy, who has not engaged in buddhi yoga, so what is his condition? Here, na word again comes, you see here. So, three times na word comes. Nasti, na asti buddhir ayuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavana, nacha bhavaita shantir ashantasya kutasukam. One who is not connected with the Supreme can have neither transcendental intelligence nor steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness in without peace? So, so here, ashantasya kutasukam, shanti, nacha bhavatayata shantir. The shanti word comes. So Prabhupada immediately quotes from Bhagavad Gita 5.29, connects it to Bhagavad Gita 5.29. So there peace formula is given. What is the peace formula? Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suradam sarva bhutanam jnatvamam shantim ruchati. So one who knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, he is the supreme controller, our supreme proprietor, and he is a well-wisher of all the living entities, becomes peaceful. He becomes free, shanti. So, now you see why it is connected. Unless we are peaceful, we cannot be happy. And peacefulness comes by becoming free from material desires. I was yesterday mentioning that. Prashanta, shanta, prashanta means one who has no material desires in his mind. His mind is completely controlled. So, you can just beat, no? It will go. Once or twice we should look like this. We may not be having eyes also, I think. Where to go and how. So coming to the point of that, if we are not free from material desires, we cannot be peaceful. We will always be disturbed. We will be in anxiety. So then we cannot be peaceful. So, and when we are not peaceful, ashantasya kutasukam. Now, how this is connected to 5.29? How it is connected to 5.29? 5.29 says Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, Krishna is the supreme proprietor and friend of everyone. How it is connected?
That one who is connected with the Supreme, he will understand that thing, his consciousness will be that.
Understand himself.
That is the meaning of Yuktas.
Then you will get steady mind.
Just understanding?
Understanding the
path. See, in Vedic culture, understanding means, in Vedic system of knowledge and learning, understanding means it is it includes experience, realization and practical application, implementation of that. Shravana, manana and nididhyasana. So in modern days only shravana is there, and which they are not ready to accept, although they do that shravana, hearing from authority. So and manana, manana means contemplation. It also includes assimilation, understanding that. And nididhyasana means implementing that in our life. Then there will be realization. So, here, when mind understands that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, he is the supreme proprietor, and he is well-wishing friend of all of us, so of all the living entities, then it becomes fixed up. So that is vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana vaushakaya anantasya buddhayo vyavasayina. We need some fixed, here you see, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be final goal of mind. You see, vyavasaya, this is connected to vyavasayatmika buddhi. Right or not? Those who are in this path, they are resolute in their purpose. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. If mind is spinning always, jumping from one thing to another thing, oh, here you will get happiness, here you will get happiness, here you will get happiness, like this, it is jumping from one branch like a monkey. Sometimes mind is compared to monkey, no? So it is compared to monkey, it is. It just goes from one point to another point. We were discussing yesterday, acceptance and rejection. Sankalpa, vikalpa, manaha. Mana, sankalpa, vikalpa. Accept something, reject something. So therefore in modern days you see in the society, every day they are new, churning out and bringing newer and newer ways of sense enjoyment. Manufacturing new things, new designs, they are advertising, oh you will become, if you take this Samsung smartphone and iPhone brings another smartphone. They are bringing new ways, new. Why? Because mind is in just disturbed condition. It is just jumping from one branch to another like a monkey. So Prabhupada told sometimes about even in Krishna consciousness there are some monkey disciples, he says. So who are not fixed. They are cheated by previous sadhus and swamis and as soon as they come to a bona fide spiritual master, because they are not able to follow the principles, and again they go back to the some pseudo sadhus. So such monkey disciples, he says. So our mind is like monkey, it is. It is jumping. So Prabhupada says, there cannot be a final goal of mind if one is not in Krishna. This is based on, this statement is based on what? If one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be final goal for the mind. You are reading, you are here seeing, in the middle of the purport there is one statement. So this statement is based on which verse it is? It is based on Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. So we should have fixed mind. So by engaging in Krishna consciousness, our mind becomes fixed up. That is the relation with 5.29. We have to understand that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. I am not the enjoyer. It's not that world is meant for my enjoyment, my satisfaction. Then we'll krama krodha will go on increasing in our heart. So, but when we realize that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, we have to, our goal of life is to just pleasing Krishna. Then we'll become fixed up in mind, in our purpose, in our goal of, in our mission of life. Then disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can with a steady mind bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. So he will always be many branches. Bahu shakaya anantasya buddhayo avyavasayina. So Krishna is telling those who are avyavasayina, they are bahu shakaya. So however much he may make show of peace and spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness is. So this statement is very nice. Krishna consciousness is self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. So automatically we become peaceful. Shanta, prashanta, that is the word. So such devotees are very rare in this world. Right? It is muktanam api siddhanam vasudeva parayana sudurlabho prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. So Shukadeva Goswami told to Parikshit Maharaj in 6th canto of Bhagavatam, that muktanam api siddhanam, among many liberated souls and those who have attained perfection in life, siddhanam api, so kotishu, millions of them, prashantatma is one who is vasudeva parayana and narayana parayana, Sudurlabo Prashantatma Kotishvapi Mahamune. So among Koti Koti people, very rare is, like that is told. Yeah. So unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in 5th chapter. 5.29, that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all good results of sacrifices and penance, and that he is the proprietor of universal manifestation and he is the real friend of all living entities, then only can one achieve, one have real peace. So then again he writes about it. Right? Two times almost he has repeated that verse in this purport, right? So it is so important to know. Then we will become peaceful in life. This is a... See, now we will discuss this more in detail. There is internal peace and peace in the external world, in broader society. Most of the leaders of the world, you know, they are talking, oh, we will bring peace. Why United Nations or the United Nations organization was set up? So to bring peace in a broader world. In the, you know, in the broader society. So there is internal peace and then there is external peace. Unless we are internally peaceful, how we can bring peace outside? So this verse is talking about internal peace. And 5.29 talks both internal peace as well as external peace. So this is the shanti. No, peace formula. We will discuss that in detail there. Everyone in this material world is looking for peace, but they don't want to control the senses. For example, if you are diseased, the doctor says, take this medicine or follow this diet, but you refuse. You take whatever you want against the instruction of the physician. So how can you be cured? Similarly, we want to be cured of the chaotic condition of this material world. We want peace and prosperity, but we are not willing to control the senses. So now you see how it is connected. He is talking about against the instruction of taking the instruction of the physician. In Vyavasayatmika Buddhi verse we discussed that how we have to make our make Guru's mission as our life's mission, as life and soul. So then we will become Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. We become focused. So but then that needs self-control, right? So that needs discipline, self-control. Unless we are disciplined, we are self-controlled, we will not be able to make a Guru's mission as life's mission. We will be interested in, we will be attached to sense gratification. Okay. So this is lectures, Bhagavad Gita 62 to 72, Los Angeles, 1968. Text 67.
इंद्रियाणां चरतां यन्मनो नु विधीयते तदस्य प्रज्ञां वायुनामामि वांगसि.
As a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. So here this example is given of previously they used to have this kind of boats, no? Now also they have this kind of boats? Now also? I don't know. Some. Sailboats are still they are there with a radar. So that used to depend on the movement of wind. So that example is given. As a strong wind sweeps away boat, sometimes boat used to be in danger because being swept away by the wind. Like you know that story of how Lord Krishna came to Udupi. That because of wind that boat was in difficulty. Then because Madhva is the incarnation of Vayu, so he protected that boat. Then that boat person gave him big log of, we don't use log term for, log is used for wood of, log of, Gopi Chandan, and inside that Gopi Chandan, Lord Krishna was there. So anyway, like that, The strong wind sweeps away the boat. Even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away the mind's intelligence. So now, later it will come in the sixth chapter, how our human body is compared to a chariot. And chariot is pulled by five senses. So there is eyes, nose, tongue, and skin, and ears are there. So, so all these five horses are there. And mind is compared to, reins. You know, reins means ropes. So compared to ropes. And intelligence is chariot driver. Intelligence is chariot driver. And the passenger, who is the passenger?
Soul.
Soul is the passenger. This analogy is given in Upanishads. These verses are quoted in the sixth chapter. We will discuss that later in detail. So, now, here you see, this analogy is very relevant here to this verse also. Now, the driver is supposed to control these horses with the help of ropes. Now, if he loosens one rope, that horse will pull, you know, right? In generally, when you are driving a bullock or a horse carriage, that is a system. If you want to turn left, then you will loosen the rope, which is tied to left horse or bull. Then it will pull that side. Then other bull will, other horse will follow that. This is how it is driven. Then if you want to stop, if you want to turn this way, then loosen or pull this way, like that, you know, this is how system goes on.
Steering
system. This is the steering system. If the intelligence, mind is focusing on particular, all these senses are very strong. And they want to pull each other, pull the chariot in different directions. But they will be successful when the rope is left loose, right or not. That is the meaning of on which the mind focuses on. Here Krishna is telling. Yan manonu vidhiyate. So indriyanam hi charatam yan manonu vidhiyate. On which sense the mind is focusing, that sense takes us away. Tadasya harati prajnam vayu navam evam basi. So in this way, just like wind sweeps away. So it is our precarious condition in the material world, unfortunately, that so our intelligence is not strong, that means driver, because of not hearing from the Shastra, not hearing from the spiritual master sufficiently, and therefore he is not able to, it is not able to control the mind, and because of not controlling the ropes, the senses are pulling away in different directions. Can you imagine if all five senses are, you know, or five horses are pulling the chariot in different directions, what will be the situation of the passenger inside? It's a very precarious condition. So that is our condition. But of course, here it is talking about how one is fall down. So the basically point is, either we may fall down by seeing, or we may fall down by hearing, or we may fall down by smelling, or we may fall down by tasting, or we may fall down by touching. On whichever sense the mind is focusing, that sense will become cause of our fall down. That is the point from this verse. We should understand. So generally it is told, a man falls down by seeing the form of the woman, and woman falls down by hearing. Because what beauty is there in men to see, right? All with mustaches and beards, hairs growing everywhere. Woman is considered a fair sex. Man is considered, man is not fair sex. What beauty is there in man? It is not there beauty. Although in modern, from Western, idiot they have brought in India, Bollywood actors, they are showing their body muscles and all those things. But the main thing is, even in cinema also, you see they are using all these techniques. You are like this, you are like that, you are Julpe, I say hey, I say hey, like that. So, when a woman is seduced by a good talker, you know, expert speakers can seduce the woman actually. So what should be the approach of the spiritualists or the preachers in Krishna consciousness movement? If you are speaking with women, you should be like curt speakers. Curt speaker means up to the point, no more. And generally woman likes to speak. She likes to, if someone speaks to them, they would be very happy actually. Very happy. That's why in cellular families, they are frustrated. Why? Because there are no people to speak, you know, all alone actually. Right? And they eat the head of the husband. The husband becomes frustrated because it is not the nature of the man to sit peacefully and just go on talking to woman. And what he will, it's just emotional, sentimental things. He has to go on talking to them. So it is very difficult for man, and he becomes frustrated. And but woman become frustrated if you don't track time, and they will say, you are not giving time to me, like that they say. It's a common complaint of all men, women in the modern days, you see. Common complaint, because you are not giving time to me. Main thing, you have to sit and talk to them. So, but husband becomes frustrated with that, because that is not the nature of the man. So, all this is chaos. Modern society is completely, cellular family system is just chaos. Previously, many women used to there. They will go on talking. And they would used to be, you know, busy with children and women. So give them lots of children, that was Vedic system. And you go on with your spiritual activities, your religious activities. Just to keep them engaged, and that is their program. So you see how Vedic culture understood the psychology of a woman, man, everything. That's how they arranged the society like that. Complete, perfect society it is. But these modern idiot fellows, they don't know anything. They have concocted some popped up concept of social life. Then they are in chaos, that's all. So, anyway, but any sense can make us to fall down. So we may become prey to some beautiful form, seeing the form. And we may become prey to some music, or people may start hearing some cinema, Western music nowadays. Prabhupada said this Western music came from lower planets, where demons play this, you know, rock music in lower planets. So that is a demon's pleasure it is, demonic it is. You may like to hear that, you may like to eat something other than prasadam. Oh, it's a look, it is presented, kept here on the street, you know. Let me go and eat this, you know, I am eating only prasad so long without any spices. In a brahmacharya ashram, they don't put chili also, what to do? So let me eat something like that. So mind, on whichever sense it focuses, so that will take us away. Unless the sense, all the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, even one of them engaged in sense gratification can deviate a devotee from path of transcendental advancement. As mentioned in the life of Maharaj Amrit, all the senses must be engaged in Krishna concept. For that is the correct technique of controlling mind. Another point we were discussing, about Bahuanga Bhakti and Ekanga Bhakti. Why? Here this verse gives the necessity of Bahuanga Bhakti for beginners, for those who are sadhakas. This verse, no? Why we need Bahuanga Bhakti? We need engagement for all the senses. That's why we are not sitting like Babaji and chanting, right? Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Now we are conducting some extra session here, due to Bhakti Shastri. Still we are finding it difficult, right? Because we need engagement. We cannot go on sitting like this all the time. So once I was discussing with Gokul Chandra Prabhu called me, hey, you should come and give some seminars here. Then out of my foolish enthusiasm, I told her, so I want to give a seminar on epistemology. So I need at least 20 sessions, I said. Then he said, "Arey Baba, our boys are, our brahmacharis are not like they can sit and hear. They need some engagement." So Now we have one god brother. He is very good devotee, very nice devotee. He is very, you know, great book distributor. He is. Daily he will put at least some sets of Bhagavatam and come, surely. And if you ask him to sit and hear lectures, that is, it goes against his grain. Wherever Bhakti Shastri starts, he leaves that place and goes to some other temple. In last year, Salem, he was, Gokul Chandra was conducting some Bhakti Shastri. Immediately he left and went to Bhopal. And then I went to give Bhakti Shastri to Bhopal. And immediately he went from there to Jamnagar. So, no, he came to Hyderabad here for some time, you know. So like that, of course I am not, it is not disqualification, he is fixed in some service. But I am talking about sadhakas, he is able to do one anga of bhakti, that is book distribution. He is elevated, that is a sign of elevation. So he is a fan of book distribution, that's fine. So I am talking about, generally in the beginning we will not be able to do only one anga of bhakti. Therefore all these things are given, this analogy is given. So text 68.
Tasmadyasya mahabaho nigrahitani sarvashah indriyanindriyatilpyastasya prajna pratishthita.
Therefore, O mighty arm, the one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. Therefore, O mighty arm, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. So, concluding on the previous explanation of verses, therefore word comes, no? Tasmad word comes. So, you know, tasmad indicates the end of a section here. So, okay, so Prabhupada, I was mentioning that how we engage our senses in the service of Krishna, and in this way our senses are automatically controlled. One can curb the forces of sense gratification only by the means of Krishna consciousness, or engaging all the senses in transcendental loving service of the Lord. As enemies are curbed by superior force, the senses can similarly be curbed not by any human endeavor, but only by keeping them engaged in the service of the Lord. So here, Prabhupada calls senses as enemies. There is one verse called of Prabodhananda Saraswati. Kala khalir balina indriya vairi varga, Shri Bhakti margaya kanta kakoti ruddha, Ahakvayami vikalakhi maham karomi, Chaitanya chandraya dinadya krapam karoshi. This is again verse from Chaitanya Chandramrita. So in Chaitanya Chandramrita he says that if Chaitanya Chandra does not show mercy to me, where I will go, what I will do? Because this is Kali Yuga. The enemies are very strong. Kalak Kalir Balina Indriya Vairivarga. Senses are very strong. Vairivarga is very strong. Balina Indriya Vairivarga. And there are millions of thorns, millions of obstacles in the path of bhakti. As soon as you start doing devotional service, how, right? So many obstacles come. Relatives become obstacles, parents become obstacles, friends become obstacles, our own anarthas become obstacles. So, kantaka koti ruddha. Like that. If by Chaitanya Chandra shows mercy, we will be able to control. Another point is, if we are not able to control, then we have to engage in more and more devotional service. That is a means of controlling the senses, right? How else will control? Right or not? We should engage more and more devotional service in Krishna service, in different angas of bhakti. So you have to go to commander, temple commander, and take more service. That is the way to controlling the senses. One who has understood this, that only by Krishna consciousness is really one established in intelligence, and that one should practice this art under the guidance of a bona fide, is called sadhaka, or suitable candidate for liberation. So we will be able to control our senses if we take guidance from spiritual master. Otherwise it will be difficult on our own strength. Sadhana bhakti means here sadhaka, you know, is being defined. Sadhana bhakti means sadhana bhakti means it is following the instructions given by spiritual master. So the role of spiritual master is very important in sadhana bhakti. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has elaborated on this. So Prabhupada, he says, you know, commenting on that section, Prabhupada says, there is no question of refusal. One must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means there is no question of refusal, he says. You read that in Nectar of Devotion. So, text 69. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for self-control. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So here the comparison is made in relation with those who are materialistic people, spiritualists and materialists. So both, what is the meaning of this? It is not that we will sleep and they will get up and we will get up. The point here is their activities are exactly diagonally opposed to each other. Diagonally opposed to each other, you see. That is a mathematical language. So they are diagonally opposed to each other. In modern days it happens, literally it happens. We get up in the morning, 3 o'clock, and people sleep after that, by doing all parties, everything, gossiping, cinema, watching cinema, television, internet, everything. So this electricity makes people active in the night. Electricity makes people active in the night. So the habit of sleeping early goes away from that. So you will see in the long run, the children are sleeping in the night, early. They will develop so much strength in the body, physically also, physical point of view also. So much strength and fitness in the mind and body would be so good. It will be very nice. This childhood they are getting here, that is very amazing. Which child sleeps, at 8:30, right? Everyone sleeps at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, like that. They are spoiling their childhood. We all have spoiled our childhood, right or not? By sleeping late. Now you see, body is not cooperating. At the age of 25, 30 only, it is not cooperating now, right? Body is everywhere pain, everywhere disease, right? So this is the condition because we have exploited our body at the young age, because this idiot rascal civilization did not teach anything proper things. So, so this is the advantage. So basically what it is told, their activities are diagonally opposed to each other. There are two classes of intelligent men. One is intelligent in material activities for sense gratification. Other is introspective and awake to cultivation of spiritual life. Activities of introspective sage or thoughtful man are night for the persons materially absorbed. Materialistic person remain asleep in such a night due to their ignorance of self. The introspective sage remains alert in the night of the materialistic man. The sage feels transcendental pleasure in gradual advancement of spiritual culture, whereas the man in materialistic activities, being asleep to self-realization, dreams of varieties of sense pleasures, feeling sometimes happy and sometimes distressed in his sleeping condition. The introspective man is always indifferent to materialistic happiness and distress. He goes on with his self-realization activities, undisturbed by material reactions. Then activities of the soul engaged in self-realization and activities of materialist doesn't go parallel but go ill together. You see, very nice statement here. They don't go parallel, they go ill together, he says. Just as day and night, mundaners consider devotees as crazy. Oh, this is my comment, right or not? So, in initial days of, preaching of Krishna consciousness in the West, often people would come and tell devotees, you are crazy, like that. And they are not engaged in illicit sex, they are not engaged in intoxication, taking LSD, they are not engaged in gambling, meat eating. You people are crazy like that, wearing some bedsheet, shaven headed, putting some clay on the, right or not? Some wooden beads on the neck. You people are crazy like that days, because in the West they don't know what they are. Now in India people are thinking like that. Now they are thinking. Now they have come to up to that level. If child becomes, son becomes a devotee, father thinks of putting him into psychiatric hospital. He thinks that this fellow has become mad. So they are thinking crazy. But devotees used to call, non-devotees as crazy. So that issue became such a big issue. Prabhupada gave a lecture on that. Who is crazy? Materialistic people are crazy. They are like camels, they eat thorns of sense gratification and their blood is using, they are spending blood and they think that they are enjoying that. So that they publish into a flyer and distributed it everywhere. Who is crazy like that, a devotee? It became a big issue. That is considered as one of the nectar page of Srila Prabhupada teachings. Who is crazy? For devotees it is nectar, no? Right or not? Calling non-devotees, exposing non-devotees as crazy. So in this way materialistic people will say devotees are crazy and devotees will say crazy. Prabhupada addressed that. In the end, laws of material nature will decide who is crazy. Ultimately, non-devotees are crazy because they don't know what is self-realization. There are two kinds of one kind of intelligence. There are two kinds of intelligence. One kind of intelligence is to apply the senses for unrestricted enjoyment. Other is to apply the senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This I am reading from the lecture. Now suppose one has given up all material enjoyment and is engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Materialistic, such a person is crazy to have given up all material enjoyment and be engaged in something so nebulous. The materialist sees the spiritual person as losing out his life's enjoyment. Right or not, they say, you are not engaged in sense enjoyment. What is your life? What is your life? Nothing is there in your life. If you are not engaged in illicit sex, if you are not, if you are not enjoying, they say that, what is there in your life? But devotees know that these guys are what their enjoyment is. We are doing better enjoyment like that. Materialist sees that spiritual person is as losing out in his life's enjoyment, and the spiritual person is sad that materialist is destroying himself in material enjoyment, taking no interest in spiritual life, right? Devotees become unhappy. Like Prahlad says, I am unhappy because of these vimudas, number one fools. They are engaged in sense gratification. So text 70.
Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapah dvarishanti yadva tarvatamayam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapnoti nakamakami.
So a person who is not disturbed by the in-season flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but is always still can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy the desires. So this analogy is given here, although so many rivers enters into ocean, but still it is, it doesn't go beyond its limits. So we don't see that. Every time rainy season comes and the ocean is flooding out. We don't see that happening. Although scientists are saying that there will be global warming and then the ocean will flood out. Then most of the land will get covered from water. Like that. This is all what they are doing. Of course, time to time Krishna sends tsunami and all. So These are all plans of materialistic people because people are paying tax, no? Other day we were seeing they have to, politicians have to create calamity. Similarly, scientists have to always propose some theories, otherwise people will be unhappy with them. They will shoot them because people are paying for their money, grants for their, you know, research and everything. They are giving them Nobel Prize, so much money they are spending. They have to show something, no? Right or not, like that. So they have to keep telling global warming. Some fellows, they say that global dimming because of pollution, no? That whole layer has accumulated on the atmosphere, in the atmosphere, that is not allowing the sunlight inside to the earth. Therefore, planet is becoming cool, they say. That is called as global dimming. You understood what I am saying? So this is called global dimming. And some say global warming. But we say, whatever, whether it is global dimming or global warming, you rascals have created chaos in the society. You have spoiled everything. Prabhupada used to shout in his lectures. This is spoiling civilization, and we can call now it is a spoiled civilization. It is. So this is the condition of the society. Anyway, coming to this analogy. This is analogy here anyway. It's not a principle. It is an analogy. Comparison is made here. Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water, but the ocean remains the same, steady, it is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink. Now, you see, sometimes we come and, sometimes devotees come and tell me, or we see that, you know, desires, they just flow like a river, you know, into our heart. The current is so strong, we become completely, our enthusiasm in devotional completely beaten down. We are beaten by Maya. Sometime in psychology they have these terms, high tides and low tides, it is, they call it as. So we are beaten, we become depressed. So that is a big question. Why? What takes away our enthusiasm from devotional service? Utsaha nishaya dhayat. So we will discuss later that time. So basically our whatever sinful activities we have done in previous life or before coming to Krishna consciousness, they become obstacles in our spiritual life. And in this way they suppress us. So basically these material desires, they flow in our heart like material desires and try to take away our enthusiasm and Krishna consciousness. But this person, he remains steady like a ocean. That is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness. Our devotee prays to Krishna, like, you know, Kunti Maharani is praying, Yata Gangam Basam. She says that, let my attraction flow towards you, like, you know, Ganges flows towards ocean, unobstructed, like that, she says. So Kunti Maharani is praying to Lord Krishna like that. So, in this way, devotee is not agitated, or he prays to Krishna so that their attraction flows towards Krishna. As long as one has material body. Now you see, this point is very important. How long material desires will remain? As long as material body is there, material desires will be there. So, I was asking one devotee recently, I used to push him to become brahmachari, but he didn't become brahmachari. Later, now he is lamenting, I did not become. Of course, now I am very serious and he wants to join farm community. He says, I don't want to miss this second opportunity. I missed first opportunity, now I don't want to miss second opportunity, he says. So, he was telling him, I used to tell you to join brahmachari ashram, why you did not join? What you used to feel, what stopped you like that? And he said two things, material desires and because of family, you know, family, right? Parents and all, you know, right? His father died in between. So, like that he was saying. Now this is a situation, We think that we have to come to ashram after completing our material desires. But then you will never come to ashram at all. Because as long as material body is there, material desires will be there. See here, Prabhupada, what he's writing. As long as one has the material body, the demands of the body for sense gratification will continue, he says. So you will come afterwards to Brahmacharya ashram. Brahmacharya ashram is not meant for after attaining perfection you will come. Here you have come to get trained how to become free from material desires. So we'll continue. The devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires. What to speak, Srila Prabhupada used to tell that. He told two things, you see, in different times. One time he said, sometimes even I think of my wife, he says. Right? You see, he was in family life and he has taken sannyas. And remembrance of his wife is coming. Of course, we understand that it is out of humility of Srila Prabhupada. So, and just to encourage disciples, you know, right? Like that he will. Sometime I also think of my wife. Therefore, there is injunction for sannyasis. They should not meet their wives again. Like that he says. So, sannyasi is forbidden to see his wife again. He cannot meet his wife. It is. No? So, some sahajiya movements in Bengal, they have bogus idea that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met his wife and he gave her his sandals. Like that they have preached wrongly about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, in Gaudiya Mata, they wrote many books on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings. So, there was one 3-volume book which was supposed to be composed. The first volume got completed by Bhakti Sudhakar Narayan Prabhu. So, you know that Bhakti Sudhakar, Professor Sanyal, he was a professor. He used to give 800 rupees donation every month in those days, you know, late 20s and early 30s to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata. He was earning so much money actually. He was a professor in Ravenshaw College in Cuttack. So, very, very dedicated. Whatever money he got as a, his profession, he immediately brought and gave it to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur. He will not take even one penny also. And Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur used to send 200 rupees to his wife through someone else. So that, you know, he is so indifferent to the family and family, maintaining family. So at least, you know, his wife run that family. like that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur used to send 200. So 600 rupees at least donation. And Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur, he said, he is the guru of sannyasis, he said. Guru of renunciates. He is a Paramahamsa, he called him. He was so dedicated. And he is considered as a, what is that? There is one more term in English. What is that? Alter ego. Alter ego of Bhakti Siddhanta. Can you imagine alter ego of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur? Can anyone become like that? Can anyone become like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur? So, alter ego means like you are too popular there, no? You and Shreyas, two individual souls are there. But if your behavior, your action, your talk, your understanding, everything is same, then Shreyas is considered as alter ego of Kunji Bihari, or Kunji Bihari is considered as alter ego of Shreyas. This is how he was called as alter ego of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur. And he used to write articles and he used to put Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur's name. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur will write articles and he used to put his name. Like that it is told. Some say that this Brahma Samhita book is there. Brahma Samhita, that commentary is written by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur, no? But actually it is written by Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu, it is told. But the name is Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur. And you see, in the foreword if you read, there is hint there actually. A follower of Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written a commentary on this Brahma Samhita, like that in the foreword Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur wrote that. That means what? It is not written by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvata Thakur. I was trying to guess like that, but it is mentioned in Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav that it is. Some say like it is written by Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu. Anyway, coming back to the point, that why I came to that point here. Anyway, so
he was a sannyasi, guru of sannyasis.
Not So
I came to that. So in Gaudiya Mata, that is the point. You all did get that. Gaudiya Mata, there are many, they wrote many books. And this Sudhakar, Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu also was writing a 3-volume book. And first volume was ready. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally edited that. In 1932, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came for South Indian Yatra trip. And he stayed many months in Ooty. After long travel and exhaustion by heat and travel, he stayed in Ooty. You know, Ooty is a like hill station. You know? And there he completed his Gaudiya Mata commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat, and he edited this book on Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, by Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu, first volume. Later volume they could not complete, I think that was. So Chaitanya Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had given outline to him how to compose that. So that book is there. That one more disciple wrote. Of course, he became later joined, I think, Sahajiya Sampradaya, that one more disciple, O.B.L. Kapoor. So, but of course, Prabhupada, he appreciated O.B.L. Kapoor. My God brother, O.B.L. Kapoor, like that he used to say. So he wrote one book of Sri Chaitanya, his life. His philosophy and teaching, something like that. In those books, what they have done is they have refuted all these sahajiya misconceptions about the life and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, quoting from authoritative sources, very nicely analyzed from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not meet his wife. There is no description of that, like that, very all the misconceptions about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And some Bengalis, they say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by saying Trinada Pishunichana, he made all men important, like that they say. But Prabhupada, he will read in the next chapter, devotee is not important. He is like, you know, when time comes, he will be like Arjuna and Hanuman, like that he says. So when it is necessary. Anyway, so Prabhupada says that I am a sannyasi, therefore there is a rule. Should not keep hand like that on Bhagavad Gita. So there is a rule for a sannyasi that he should not meet his wife. That's why we follow that rule, and in this way we control ourselves. Right or not? Prabhupada is encouraging his disciples. I also get material desires. I also think of my wife. Now at this age, I have taken sannyas. But therefore rule is there, sannyasi should not meet. So yesterday I was mentioning, when we take shelter of rules and regulations, when we follow the angas of bhakti, then we will not fall down, as assured by Rupa Goswami. So we have to follow the angas. These material desires will be there as long as, sometimes Prabhupada said, of course he told that, because of my disciples' sinful activities, I get some bad dreams, in the night, he says. So Guru has to take the sins of sinful activities of the disciples. Then it may, that's why Prabhupada cautioned sannyasis not to accept many disciples, because it can become dangerous. So because of disciples' sinful activities, so Guru's consciousness becomes polluted if they are really not. In the sense, you know, you have limitations. Every individual has their limitations. We are not Krishna, right? Or not to burn everything. So we are not Krishna. Guru is not Krishna. We should not misunderstand. Guru is a jiva tattva. He has his own individual limitations. So therefore, the point here, why I am telling all these points, it is not that material desires will be there as long as this body is there. So they will keep coming. So we should not become discouraged by that. But we should not become complacent also. Okay, desires will be there. We should try to always become pure as possible. A Krishna conscious man is not in need of anything, because he fulfills all his material necessities. Therefore he is like the ocean, always full in himself. Desires may come to him like the waters of the rivers and flow into the ocean, but he is steady in his activities and he is not even slightly disturbed by desires for self-gratification. That is the proof of a Krishna conscious man. One who has lost all inclination for material sense gratification, although the desires are present, because he remains satisfied in transcendental loving service of the Lord, he can remain steady like the ocean and therefore enjoy full peace. Others, however, who want to fulfill desires even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success, never attain peace. The fruitive workers, the salvationists, the yogis who are after mystic powers are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires. But the person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord and he has no desires to be fulfilled. In fact, he does not even desire liberation from so-called material bondage. The devotees of Krishna have no material, therefore they are in perfect. You know which verse it is? Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashant Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ataiva Shant. You see that last portion of the purport is just this verse, explanation of this verse. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashant Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ataiva Shant. He is peaceful, he is restored in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Word nakamakami, you see, nakamakami, that word says that we cannot become desireless, we cannot become zero, we have to engage our, purify our desires, that is the point. Kamam tu dase natu kama kameya yadustama shloka janashrayarati. It is told that how he did not become servant of material desires, but he engaged all his desires in serving the desires of Lord Vishnu. Then so we have to channel our desires towards Krishna in devotional service. So there is a lot of, I have given lecture on that, you know, anya abhilashita shunyam. Abhilasha means desires, right? Tha, why tha word he used? You know, I was giving lectures. Remember, I gave a seminar on pure devotional service, right? Tha means. We can have desires for maintaining our body so that we can serve Krishna. We should not make all desires zero. Okay. We don't have to kill our desire. Desire is the constant companion of all living beings. Because we are alive, we have desires. Intimate things, inanimate things have no desires. In our desires are material. If our desires are material, we engage in sense gratification. But if we engage our senses in serving Krishna, then he will free us from all material desires. This is where true happiness lies. Lecture Bhagavad Gita 262-72, Los Angeles 68. Text 71. Vihaya kamanyah sarvam umam sharati nisriha nirmamo nirahankara sashanti marilachari. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain peace, real peace. So sashanti mapnoti. So in 66 verse we see that asantasya kutasukam, it is mentioned. Now there in a negative way it was explained, but here in positive way, who can attain peace, peace, peace like that in these verses, you see, this previous verse, this verse and all, Krishna is describing. So same thing we discussed. So to become desireless means to not to desire anything for sense gratification. Not that we will become completely zero and void. So anya vilashita shunyam means we have to become free from desires of sense gratification. In other words, desire for becoming Krishna conscious is actually desirelessness. To understand one's actual position as eternal servitor of Krishna without falsely claiming this material body to be oneself and without falsely claiming proprietorship over anything, is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. You see the connection with 5.29 and 2.66, you know, here again. This connection is there. One who is situated in this perfect stage knows, because Krishna is the proprietor, everything must be used for his satisfaction. So what I was saying there, what is the connection there, this is more elaborated here in this purport. Arjuna did not want to fight for his own sense gratification, but when he became fully Krishna conscious, he fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. For himself there was no desire to fight, but Krishna. But Krishna, the same, but for Krishna, the same time, same Arjuna fought to his best ability. Real desirelessness is to desire for the satisfaction of Krishna, not an artificial attempt to abolish desires. The living entity cannot be desireless or senseless, but he does not have to change the quality. He does have to change the quality of the desires. A materially desireless person certainly knows that everything belongs to Krishna, Isha Vasham Idam Sarva, and therefore he does not falsely claim proprietorship. Here, that word is come, no? Nirmamo, Nirahankara. Nirmamo means proprietorship. This transcendental knowledge is based on self-realization, namely knowing perfectly well. You see, Ahankara means what? False identification with body. Because if you have transcendental knowledge, then you will be based on self-realization, Prabhupada says. Knowing perfectly well that every living entity is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, then Ahankara will not be there. When you know that I am servant of God, therefore Prabhupada, he said, when initiation we take, name is given, Shama Sundara Das. So Das word is important, he says. We should know that we are servants of Krishna, not that, oh, now everyone will call me Prabhu because I got initiated. We should remember Das name, important, that we are servants. And therefore, he does not falsely claim perfectly well, that eternal position of the living entity is therefore never on the level of Krishna or greater than him. This understanding of Krishna consciousness is the basic principle. See, this is a very common point among the Mayavadi's lectures. If you hear, go and hear Mayavadi lecture, Ahankar nahi hona chahiye, Ahankar nahi hona chahiye, Ahankar se mukt hona chahiye, like that they will say. And they will always show false humility. Now this Chandrasekhar and this, sorry to say his name, they will be very upset, Mayavadis. Because he is very respected among the Mayavadis. In Kanchi Kamakota of Pitam, there are horses, there are elephants, all these things. And Prabhupada also, you see, he went to Kumbh Mela or where, Varanasi, he went. And they arranged a big, huge elephant. On the elephant, there would be, what is that called? There would be some seat, not to sit there. Like that, some seat would be there on the elephant that is considered as very aristocratic. So moving like that, they organized, you know, and there was a chariot, I think. Chariot also. So, no. Elephant and this was not, it was arranged for some Mayavadis. Mayavadi was sitting on the elephant and chariot, and Prabhupada showed. And they had arranged a similar chariot for Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada made Radha Krishna deities to sit in the chariot, and he was in the front, you know, like a chariot driver. Or he was doing kirtan in the front, something that description comes in Leela Amrita. Prabhupada, he did not take a high position for himself. So these Mayavadis, you know what they say? Oh, sometimes I think of leaving all these things and go away, renouncing everything. But then I think, oh, who will do the service of Chandra Mauleshwara? There is, you know, Shiva deity there in Kanchipuram. So who will do worship for? So therefore we have to be surrounded by all these things, like that he said. So they show artificial, and they say you all should become free from Ahankara. Ahankara is the cause of bondage, like all this philosophy they will talk. And they themselves have become taken the position of Shankara. You see, everyone uses the term Shankaracharya, the present Shankaracharya, you see. They are becoming artificially equal to original Shankaracharya, alright, Shankara. This is Ahankara it is. So they can never become free from Ahankara, these Mayavadis. They may talk about it a lot. Unless we realize that we are eternal servants of Krishna, we cannot become free from, you know, Ahankara. So just like we were discussing on the... there are four things which Krishna says, no? Indriya, Vishayan, Indriya, Sharan. Ragadvesha Vimaktaistu, Vishayan, Indriya, Sharan. Atma Vashayar, Vijayatma, Prasadam Adigatyati. So similarly here, four things are mentioned. Who can attain peace? You know? Vihaya Kaman, Yaha Sarvan. First thing. Charati Nisprahaha. One who is free from Vihaya Kaman, Yaha Sarvan means one who has lives free from desire for sense gratification. And Charati Nisprahaha, again it is the same thing, who lives free from desires. And Nirmaha, without sense of proprietorship. And Nirahankara, devoid of false ego. These are the four things which are described here. And okay, so text 72. Esha Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Sthitvasya Mantya Kale Pi Brahma Nirvana Mrachyati. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So here this word Brahmi Sthiti, you know, Esha Brahmi Sthiti. Brahmi Sthiti means that, you know, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. That is called as Brahma Bhuta stage. So in the Shastra, there are two words are there in Bhagavad Gita also. There is Jiva Bhuta and then there is Brahma Bhuta. Jiva Bhuta means living entity who is in the material world, who is bound by material desires, or he is on completely material platform. Our basic principle is that he identifies himself with the body. He is in Ahankara, false ego, according to the previous verse. He is called Jiva Bhuta. And Brahma Bhuta means he is free from this false ego. He is on spiritual platform. He realizes that he is eternal servant of Krishna. That is Brahma Bhuta stage. Of course, he identifies, literal meaning is that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. Eternal spirit soul. That is Brahma Bhuta stage. So, and Jiva Bhuta means that Jiva always thinks that I am the product of this material world. That is Jiva Bhuta stage. So, this is difference between Brahma Bhuta and Jiva Bhuta. And that situation of that Jiva and Brahma Bhuta stage is called Brahmi Sthiti here. And in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada, he explains, you see, what is that Brahmi Sthiti? Brahman is just opposite to matter. Therefore, Brahmi Sthiti means not on the platform of material activities. Devotional service of the Lord is accepted in Bhagavad Gita as liberated state. Saguna and Samati Taitan, Brahma Bhuhaya Kalpate. Therefore, Brahmi Sthiti is liberation from material bondage. So, this is Brahmi Sthiti. Now, when one is situated in Brahmi Sthiti, Nainam Prapya Vimohati. He does not become bewildered by material sense desires. So, I was telling, no? Who is advanced devotee? One who is fixed in Brahmi Sthiti, he is advanced devotee. He is not bewildered by these material desires. Sthitvasya Pyantakalepi. Even if one comes to this Brahmi Sthiti at the end of life, at the moment of death, Brahma Nirvana Mrachyati, he says, one will go back to Godhead. So, Brahma Nirvana Mrachyati. So, here Prabhupada is giving example of Khatvang Maharaj. At the time of death, he attained. This example is given by Shukadeva Goswami in Bhagavatam. In the beginning, when Shukadeva Goswami started instructing Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj was at the time of death, right? And he wants some inspiration where, by hearing about Krishna or by remembering Krishna, attain perfection at the time of death. That example is required, but to, you know, for inspiration for Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj asked question that what I should do now at the time of death, what a person should do at when he is about to die, what are his duties. Then he said that you should not take shelter of anything of this material world, wife, children, paraphernalia, your kingdom, citizens, praja, no one, or your elephants. Hastinapura is known for hastis. So you should just take shelter of Krishna, because he can deliver you from fear of death. Now some example is required for that to inspire him. Then he gave the example of Khatvang Maharaj. Khatvang Maharaj was fighting with a demigod, for the sake of demigods with demons. And he fought, and demigods become very happy with him. And then they said, what boon we can give you? Then he told them, he asked them, how long I will be living? How much time is left for me to die? He asked. Then they said that you are going to die very soon now, immediately, next moment. Then immediately he remembered Krishna, Khatvang Maharaj. So he had that spiritual intelligence. Now coming to the point that they will attain Brahma Nirvana Mrityati. Now this Brahma Nirvana means what it is. So in Buddhist philosophy, their goal is to attain Nirvana. And according to them, Nirvana means what? Becoming void. Life has come into existence by the combination of material elements. And life is full of miseries. And we have to separate these material elements and end this life. Then we will go to Nirvana, Shunya, there is no more suffering. Like that, that is their concept of Nirvana. So some examples are given us, you know, some stories are there in like that in Buddhist literature. Some two Buddhist monks were traveling in the jungle. Suddenly they heard the sound of lion roaring. Lion is roaring. Now what happens if you hear the sound of lion roaring? Then whole body becomes cool, right? So cool or hot, something happens. Hot or cool, something happens. But that did not happen with these monks, you know, Buddhist monks. They started laughing loudly. Now we are going to attain Nirvana, being swallowed by this tiger. Which rascal will accept this philosophy? Then why you are keeping your life alive till you attain Nirvana, you know, some lion to come and swallow you? Just end now only. No? Who will accept this? such kind of philosophies they have, such made up religions. You cannot imagine their mental speculation. You cannot explain their idiotness in human words. And that is their idiot. This Jain philosophy is another, you know, they put a cover on the mouth. That some insects will go inside and we are non-violent, they say. But if you walk also, you will kill so many. If you cook, you will kill. If you drink water, you will kill so many. What about them actually? Pancha Mahapap, no one can avoid. Right, we are discussing. So such philosophies. Prabhupada sometimes used to explain this Buddhist philosophy. Now you have built a big house, a big building, skyscraper building. And now income tax people, they are coming and attacking you. You have made some, what is that? Black money, that's why you got, from where you got this money? Suddenly how you became rich like that? Right? Like that, so they say, you know, they come and attack. Now you have two solutions. Either you have to pay the tax, or you have to dismantle the house. Generally, I give this example in Yajna when I am explaining Yajna in the third chapter, but anyway, now it came. And because Buddhist philosophy. See, dismantling house is called as Nirvana, according to Buddhist philosophy. So we are troubled by this income tax people. Let us dismantle this house. But according to Vedic philosophy, according to Bhagavad Gita and Vedic, we have to give tax. That is called as Yajna. Demigods are supplying all these necessities to us. We have to please them by performing yajna. Which word you are searching? Dismantle? Kunji Vihari, nice. Okay. So here he says,
According to Buddhist philosophy, there is only void after completion of this material life. But Bhagavad Gita teaches differently. Actual life begins after the completion of this material life. For the gross materialist, it is sufficient to know that one has to end this materialistic way of life. But for persons who are spiritually advanced, there is another life after this materialistic life. Before ending this life, if one fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, he at once attains this materialistic life. Before ending this life, if fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, he attains, at once attains the stage of Brahma Nirvana. So whole life we have to practice Krishna consciousness, so that in the end of our life, we come to this Brahmi sthiti, you know, spiritual platform. There is no difference between kingdom of God and devotional service to the Lord, since both of them are in the absolute land. So in fact, a devotee goes to the extent that I can take birth in this world again and again, but let me not forget your devotion. Mama janmani janmani ishware bhavata bhakti rahiti. Actually, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is like that. In other Vaishnava philosophies and other people, they want liberation. If someone asks you, what is your goal of life? What he will tell? What is your goal of life? Now I told, that's why you are all repeating. So our goal of life is to know God, not to go back to God. Our goal of life is to engage in devotional service. Of course, Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion, he says, going back to Godhead is not against devotional ideals, he says. Because there also what devotee will do? Devotee will do engage in service only, right? So it is not against devotional ideal. Then you should not ask me, if our goal of life is going back to, you know, doing devotional service, then why you are saying go back home, back to Godhead? Why our magazine is back to Godhead magazine? Why we are again and again and we tell about back to Godhead? It's not against devotional ideals. Because they are also devotee. But in fact there it is explained more, little, it is qualified there. A devotee does not like to go back to Godhead if there is no service there. Vinamat sevanam, there Rupa Goswami quotes one verse from 3rd canto of Bhagavatam. Where Kapil Deva is telling, my devotee is so great that he doesn't want a kingdom of God also without service to Krishna. Vinamat sevanam, it is told. So, anyway, like that Prabhupada is telling, that is Brahmi sthiti. In a material world, there are activities of sense perfection, whereas the spiritual world, there are activities of Krishna, attainment of Krishna consciousness. Even during this life is immediate attainment of Brahma, and one who is situated in Krishna consciousness has certainly already entered into the kingdom of God. Now, Mayavad is also covered Buddhism, it is. So, what their understanding of Brahmi sthiti is also bogus, it is. Their so-called spiritual platform, what they attain is, that is also bogus, it is. Because ultimately, spirit means adhyatma. Later in 8th chapter, Krishna will tell. Svabhava adhyatma uchyate, the eternal nature of the living entity is adhyatma. So, that eternal nature itself is, and that svabhava itself is swarupa. Jivera swarupa hoy krishnir nityadas. To be eternal servant of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada here is saying, devotional service is to Krishna is tantamount to going back home, back to God, he says. Here, no? So, just to paraphrase his statement here, no? There is no difference between the kingdom of God and devotional service to the Lord. That is actually Brahma Nirvana. The Mayavadis which attain Brahma Nirvana or Buddhists they attain, that is bogus. It is not original position. So we'll end here. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So we'll not take questions. You can take questions in the afternoon because you need some gap now. Again after Sadhguru. If you have any questions, you note down now. And note down now. Later we'll discuss because you need some gap now. I can go on. How much torture you have to be here, huh? Right?
Thank you.